Hello, my friends. I am so excited to welcome Jillian Bennett to our podcast today. She is a nutrition and mindset coach, and we are going to be talking a lot about today this concept of becoming a confident eater, which is what Jillian does with her clients and in her work. And so I'm really excited. So welcome, Jillian. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do and a little bit more about your story?
Amazing. Jenna, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Jillian. I am a nutrition coach. I work a lot with mindset and body image as well. And I tend to work with mainly women, although I do have some incredible male clients that I love working with. And I work with individuals that are sort of on either end of the nutrition spectrum. Either they have no idea what's going on and they want to create some structure and find a little bit of balance in their eating habits, or they're on the totally other side of the spectrum where it's almost like they know so much about like nutrition information and macros and dieting that it's almost like they're in the matrix and they can't unsee the matrix. And so I help both sides of that spectrum kind of find the middle. And this is where, you know, you mentioned confident eating, and that's the name of my group coaching program, because essentially the way that I work with my clients is to help them feel like they have self-confidence and self-trust and their ability to make decisions about what type of eating, what type of lifestyle habits are important for them to really enjoy the life that they live.
Beautiful. Yes. And this is very similar to the work that I do. And a lot of what we talk about on this podcast is related to this idea of making decisions that come from a place of self-trust and that feel good to you, because there are so many different things and it can look so many different ways. And it really just depends on your lifestyle and your availability and your values, your priorities, and just life in general. So I'm really excited to have this conversation today. And I think a good place for us to start would just be talking a little bit about, like, I think for you in terms of confident eating, like I know for myself, right, a lot of the work that I do comes from a past version of me or something that I personally struggled with, right? And that's where my concept of like purposeful eating kind of comes into play, of just like being intentional about what we are putting into our bodies, but also having the freedom and flexibility around that. So I'm curious for you, like, where does this like confident eater concept kind of stem from in your own journey?
Yeah, I love this question because my journey has really been like a saga of being on both sides of that spectrum, right? And so even from a really young age, I had weird issues with food and my body, which I guess really aren't that weird because I think it's pretty common. You know, I grew up in a household where I was essentially told that like sugar was going to kill me and TV was going to turn my eyes square. And so I have memories of like hiding in my pantry, eating Nutella that I think someone had gifted to our family. And I remember my dad coming in and opening the pantry doors and like losing his, can I curse on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Like losing his shit because he was like, that stuff is going to kill you. It's so bad for you. And so I grew up with this like very restrictive household around food, which essentially made me, and we know that restriction usually causes like us to go on the side of overeating or binging. And so I would go to friends' houses and I would eat like all of the tasty snack food that I was not allowed to eat in my house. And so, you know, I have a lot of empathy for my dad now as an adult because he was trying to do the best for me because he thought that like he was trying to protect me. But really, if he had just been like, here is, you know, here are all the foods, like some of these are more nutritious, some of these are less nutritious, I probably wouldn't have then gotten to an adult and felt completely out of control around sweets. And so for me, when I first started learning about nutrition, I was 20 years old and I had refused to eat vegetables essentially my entire life. And I got to this point where I was like, wait, I need to learn a little bit more about what I'm putting in my body, because I was in college, I had gained a bunch of weight, I didn't feel comfortable, my energy was terrible. And so I started to learn more about nutrition. And that was where I sort of found this point where I was like, oh, I'm enjoying learning how to cook and eating more vegetables. But then I went to the other side of the spectrum. So started out not having any idea what was going on. I went to the other side of the spectrum when I found macro counting. And when I found macro counting, I had already done at least like 8 other diets. I had been paleo, I had been vegetarian, I had tried to go low carb, I had done sugar detoxes, all of these other things. And I found macro counting and I was like, oh, this is a way for me to eat quote unquote whatever I want. And as long as I'm within my calories, like I can still lose weight, because the overarching theme of my life had been my life will be better if my body is smaller, because I had always had a curvier body. I had always had extra body fat on my body. I'm just a curvier person, even though I'm fairly small, like I'm like 5 feet tall. And so I had in my head, like, if I can just look a certain way, if my body can just look a certain way, like life will be good. And so when I found macros and I realized that I could control how much I ate and be very precise with it, it turned into a tool that was helpful for me to reach a goal, into something that like spiraled into disordered eating habits, which I see with a lot of the women that I work with, where it's like, whatever diet they're doing or macro counting, whatever it is, starts out as something that they're using to learn more about nutrition and learn more about what works for their body. And then it becomes something where they're like, if I don't do this, I cannot trust myself to eat. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why confident eating is so important to me is because for the longest time, like most of my life, I did not feel confident sitting down with food in front of me and knowing that I could eat to satisfaction and eat to feel physically good, but also to feel mentally satisfied. And getting to the point where I can trust myself to go out to eat and not go home feeling stuffed, or buy a bunch of snacks at the store and not end up eating them all in one day. Like, it feels so good to do that, because travel and going out to eat and like doing fun things with my friends, that's so important to my life. And so being able to be confident in how I eat in those situations is like an absolute non-negotiable.
Yep. Yep. I love this story because honestly, this is a very similar story to the one that I lived as well. I think really when I started learning more about nutrition, it was from that sense of like control and starting to really identify what these foods look like. And then I find that, like you said, right, there's these different spectrums. And I find that for myself, I often have to go to both ends to then come and find my middle ground. And so while my relationship with macros was healthy in some ways, it also became something that was unhealthy in other ways, right? Like a lot of that game that you're talking about, where it's like macro Tetris or trying to hit your macros. And then if you're not hitting them, feeling guilty about it. If you can't track something, freaking out and feeling like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? Right. And so over the past like few years, I've really kind of backed off of macro tracking. It's still a tool that I utilize with some clients, though, I'll be honest, just to help them learn, right, the foundation of food essentially, and create more food awareness, but it is not our destination, right? It is just a temporary tool that we utilize.
Totally. And I think you said something really important there, is that it is a tool and it's not the tool. And I think unfortunately what we're seeing in our industry, and this is like any of you that are listening, you probably see on social media now that like macros are like the be all end all. Mm-hmm. And it's a tool that you can use. And it's also a tool that ideally should be temporary. Like, I don't think any of us want to be 65, like weighing out our granola on a food scale, or like being like, no, no, grandchild, let me wait and weigh out my ice cream that we're going to enjoy together. Like, nobody wants to do that. But I think when many people start macros, and unfortunately, so I work with women on their relationship with food, but I also work with coaches to support their relationship with food as well. And I find that a lot of coaches are, you know, they're really, really good at when they are like tracking their macros, and they're really good at it, right? But similarly to like any one of us that is not a coach, we're human and we become really attached to like, this is a tool, so this must be the tool. And so this is why, like, ultimately I've been working with a lot more coaches to on their relationship with food, because they become really attached to it, and then they become attached to it for their clients. And then we end up with even more people that are using this tool as a crutch instead of simply something that is a short-term helper.
Totally. And it's funny because I just had this conversation with a fellow coaching friend of mine, and we were just talking about how many disordered eating habits still exist within the coaching community, right? And
oh my God.
I can, it's even like 70, share.
There was a research, sorry to interrupt there, but no, I think this was important. There was a study that came out that I think it was something like 70% of fitness professionals. I'm actually going to have to look that up because now I'm doubting that number, but it was a stupid high number of fitness professionals that have either body image or disordered eating issues. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Totally. No, I'm glad that you shared that, because I think one, it brings humility to this conversation, right? This idea that like coaches also struggle with this in their own way. Mm-hmm. And there are still, like I was talking, the conversation I had with my coaching friend was like, actually there are still disordered eating habits that pop up for me every now and then, you know, like I see them when they come up. They're not prevalent or they're not really loud, you know, but they are still part of my process in some ways. And so I have to be really cognizant of like, and just get inquisitive about like where it's coming up, why it's coming up and things like that. But it's interesting that you pulled that the coaching element in there because yeah, again, like coaches don't have it all figured out. And half the time, I would say more than half the time, people, coaches enter the space to solve it for their own as well. And exactly. Then help people solve it.
You hit the nail on the head is that most people, like whether they are registered dietitians, nutrition coaches, fitness professionals, I think less so on the like personal training fitness side, but very much so on the nutrition side is that many of us, and this is like, I was very disordered in my eating habits being a coach. And I look back now and like, this is where like part of being a coach is also being able to say like, hey, I was wrong and I'm learning and let me do better. And I look back to when I first started coaching and you would look at me physically and be like, wow, she must know what to do in her nutrition because I had abs and I was so quote unquote fit and whatever. But like my eating habits were very disordered. And this is where I think it's really important for anyone to listen to this and know that intention matters. And this is because you can look at someone and be like, wow, they're ordering the salad. They must be so healthy. But there are different intentions behind that. Someone can order the salad because they're like, you know, I really feel like eating something cool and crunchy. I know this is going to satisfy me. This aligns with my goals. And that can be like a healthful intention. Or they can say, I'm only allowed to order the salad because I have to eat something that fits within this amount of calories. I have to order the healthiest thing on the meal, on the menu. And that may be an unhealthy intention. And so this is why, again, like we cannot look at people and judge how healthful or not healthful their behaviors are. And I think this is where social media is really complicated because you might see someone on social media that's like, look at me and my grocery meal prep plan. And in their heads, they're like, oh my God, I have to stick to this grocery meal prep plan because if I don't, like, I'm going to gain a bunch of weight. I'm going to eat unhealthy. I don't trust myself unless I'm following this plan perfectly. Or it can be like, I do this because this helps me have to think about food less throughout the week. This supports my lifestyle. So we don't know people's intentions behind things when we're looking at a photo on social media.
It's so important too that you brought that up because I think that, right, it just helps us reframe our expectations, right? It keeps things realistic and human, which is absolutely a huge element within nutrition that I think often gets neglected, right? We're so focused on like the science and how this thing that gets digested. And it's like, okay, but you're also like a human living a life, a normal life. Like you're not like a test in a lab, right? Where we can control every inch of food that goes through your body, right? Like you are living a life with celebrations, with just friends, family, significant others, events, right? So there's so much nuance that plays a role in that. And I think that to prescribe people with this like one way or this one method of things working, I think is just silly. And it's funny because also similarly, I very much believe, right, as a coach that the way that I coach is dramatically different than when I first started. And I think that it's both being able to admit that. And also I tell people all the time, like my mind will also change over time too in other ways, right? Like in terms of what I do and how I coach, because we're getting better, we're learning more. And I think that that same concept applies to our clients, right? As they continue to learn new things or learn new tools or go through different seasons of life, it's important that they are adjusting and becoming aware of what works for them during that season. So I would love to know a little bit more about like what would you classify? Let me ask it this way. A client who goes through your group coaching program to become a confident eater, right? Like, what do they look like on the other side? Like, let's get a little bit of like a visual or, you know, not physically, that's not what I'm talking about, but like, how do they go through their day with these new habits and mindset that they carry with them through this experience?
This may be my favorite question that I've ever been asked on a podcast, Jenna, because painting that picture, I think is so important. And I'll give you an example of like people that start out with me and then what that looks like on the other side. And so I'll use actually a coach who recently went through the program. And this was a coach who came in and she was like, look, I have body composition goals. I'd really like to lose some weight, but I'm frustrated because I feel like I am really good at tracking my macros. I'm really good at like getting to the gym. But for some reason, I have these foods that I can't control myself around. And I buy them and I'm like, I'm going to control myself. It's going to be fine. And then I find myself eating like half the package and I don't know why. Another thing that she found really challenging was balancing. She is single and dating, and mm-hmm. she found it really challenging to be like, how do I go out and enjoy drinks and dinner, perhaps on a date, when I feel like the whole time I'm going over my macros. I feel like anytime I order something that isn't quote unquote healthy, I just say F it and end up eating the whole thing. And so through the Confident Eater, we base everything around values-based decision-making. So are you using your values, your priorities, and your goals to help you make decisions? Mm-hmm. And at the end, what this looks like, because we go through, so first we go through values-based decision-making and understanding what your values are. So we do like an amazing process of values-based or values definition and understanding like what is actually important to you. And then we start talking about like what it looks like to eat without rules, because we have this misconception that like if I'm not following any rules when I eat, like I'm just going to eat whatever all the time. And so by using our values, we can actually understand, well, how do you want to feel when you eat? Like what foods are actually satisfying to you? Mm-hmm. What do you like? What's important to you when it comes to your health or your well-being? Because that's different for everybody. And then we talk through mindful eating. And this is where I think this adds so much confidence to individuals, because we move through life so quickly that we'll often like eat things or do things or react to things without actually being aware of that decision in the moment. And so after that, we talk a little bit about self-compassion, we talk about mindset, and then we go into like actual, like what does it look like to continue to build confidence in my life and coach myself through challenges as they continue to come up. And so at the end of the program, what this individual was able to do is she was able to make the choice of like, some days I do choose to track my macros because that's helpful for me. And other days I choose not to. And it doesn't change how I approach food. I still approach food as, you know, understanding, am I hungry? What sounds good? What's going to satisfy me? She's able to now go out on dates or go out to eat with friends and decide like, am I choosing the salad because it's the quote unquote healthiest, or is it because that's genuinely what I feel like eating? She's able to confidently leave food on her plate and not feel like, well, because I decided to go off my diet, now I've got to eat it all. And I love it because every couple of weeks she'll send me updates of like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of myself. Like I bought this food that previously I could not have around, and I am eating it in a way that feels so much better. And I'm actually able to check in with myself and ask, how do I want to feel after this? And so for this individual specifically, it really offered her the chance to feel like she is in the driver's seat when it comes to her eating choices, and that she doesn't need to rely on a set of rules or macros or tracking food in an app in order to feel like she's making the right choices for herself, her body, and her lifestyle.
Yeah. So many of us ride in that backseat, right? Whether it's nutrition or just any kind of decisions or any aspects of life, right? We just kind of take the backseat, as opposed to there are certain things that we can control and there are ways that we can put ourselves in an advantage. And I think that what you shared around this whole topic and this question that I asked, I think what came up for me was that people sit in this gray area. This is what I love to talk about, because it doesn't have to be all macros or no macros. This woman is able to track her macros as she sees fit, as it's supportive to her. And then she's also allowed to go out and not track her macros if that's what she needs, but ultimately having this baseline of body awareness, right? That's educating us on how we should make our decisions as well as our values, right? And that element as well. So it's just really beautiful. And I think that this helps people really understand like what that means and how that actually looks. I know for me, right? It's like, when I do client case studies, right? It's like, okay, well, how do you move through your day now versus then? So that's kind of what inspired that, to be able to paint the picture for people. I think you covered most of this, but how do you support your clients throughout this process, right? So you've shared a little bit about the program specifically, but is there anything that's like, I guess, universal across the board, or things that kind of come up consistently in terms of support wise?
Yeah. One thing that comes up a lot is I work with a lot of women that are very resistant to the idea of self-compassion. Mm. And I work with a lot of individuals that are very compassionate towards others, like extremely compassionate towards others, and find that being compassionate towards themselves is like, oh no, I'm going too easy on myself. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the support that I offer is through asking questions and holding up the mirror. And that, I think, is what a coach should be doing, is really helping you hold up the mirror, because we are not objective when we look at our own behavior. And this is why, like, coaches have coaches, because we need that mirror held up for us. And so a lot of the support that I offer is through, like, reflective listening and asking strategic questions. And that is with the goal of promoting compassionate self-reflection. So instead of like, oh my God, I have no willpower, I cannot believe I, you know, did that thing, it's more like, huh, I wonder why I did that thing. I wonder what vulnerability factors came into play. Like, what was the driving force behind me making that decision? And how can I adjust that for the next time? And so that support is really around, and something I've had to do, like, this has been a growth process for me, is becoming the type of listener for my clients that can read between the lines and that can evoke things from them that they're like, oh, that is what I was trying to say. And so I really like the way that you phrase that question, because I think that a lot of the time, especially individuals that might be listening that have never worked with a coach before, they might expect a coach, and I'm sure you do this with your clients as well. I imagine, like, hearing the questions that you're asking, you probably do an incredible job of this, is that part of coaching is actually, like, more question asking and helping the individual come to a conclusion and then creating solutions together, rather than being like, oh no, well, here's your macros and this is what you need to do and you need to change this thing and you need to do that.
Yep. And I get tons of people who will initially come in and say, like, I just need you to tell me what to do or tell me what to eat. And I'm like, that's not what I do. But like you said, it just creates that ability for clients to come up with solutions on their own that then they are more likely to be sustainable and successful with, right? Like, that's the key component, is then they're able to take what they learn and implement it because they came up with it themselves, right? So much of life, I feel like we're constantly being told these messages and trying to absorb and trying to do these things, when ultimately we have, like, this internal guidance system underneath us that will be able to direct us and will be able to support us if we give ourselves the chance to listen and to build that self-trust and self-efficacy. So anyways, I love that, obviously. That was such a great example of that. And I think, you know, if somebody's listening to this, I'm kind of curious in terms of, like, what would be, if you're listening to this, you're like, wow, this sounds really great. Like, I've never really looked at nutrition this way. Or even maybe you have been maybe a little less self-compassionate with yourself and are maybe really macro focused and looking to kind of break away from that. What do you think is the first step for somebody to take in terms of becoming a confident eater?
So the answer that I'm going to give is, it sounds very, very basic, but it is something that is challenging for many of us. And that is to eat regular meals. And the reason being is that often our challenges with overeating or feeling like we can't control ourselves, or like, well, if I'm not dieting or tracking macros, I always overeat, is like, we're not necessarily eating on a regular basis. We're either like skipping breakfast or eating like a really tiny lunch, or we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not hungry all day long because I'm so stressed out. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I eat most of my food like after dark, right? Mm-hmm. And this is often really challenging. And this was something that, like, even myself, when I was still sort of in more disordered patterns, and I knew about nutrition. Like, it wasn't like I didn't have the education, but I was skipping breakfast and then wondering why I was starving and couldn't control myself around food all day long. I was like, why can't I stop thinking about food? And it turns out that eating consistent meals is a really great pattern for your body to become comfortable with, like, hey, I feel safe knowing that more food is coming, so I don't need to obsess over it now. And that is one of the first steps towards practicing unconditional permission to eat, which is a concept that I work on with my clients a lot. And unconditional permission to eat is a concept taken from intuitive eating. And essentially what it is you have full permission to say yes or no to any food at any time. Yeah. However, it's really challenging to find that balance and have it align with your values and your goals when you are in scarcity mode with food. And so that's why, like, the first step is, hey, are you eating regular meals?
So good. I think that that's so important. And it's definitely something that, before I even talk about macros, right, with clients, and this is so relevant because I have this new client who just started. We've been together for about 2 months now, and she's like, when are we going to work on macros? When are we going to work on macros? But when she came to me, she was eating like one meal a day. And I was like, we have some other, you know, fish to fry before we get there. And that's in order to help her with macros, right? Because if I just gave you a set of macros and was like, figure this out, and you're like, but I eat one meal a day, like, guess what? That's going to be really challenging. So even though macros can play a role, I think that it's important to also identify like the simplicity in just being able to create those regular meals and in a balanced way. I think that's really what I like to teach clients, because some people are like, a lot of people don't even know what a regular balanced meal is, right? Like that's challenging for some people, right? So just if you're listening, right, that's being able to make a balanced plate that incorporates protein, fats, carbs, and some vegetables and some fruits and things like that. Maybe a dessert if you want, right? But just being able to kind of make it balanced and also consistently eating those few meals a day. So you're not getting to that point of starvation or, you know, your body's like feeling like it's in fight or flight mode, which very much happens. And then we get that feeling of like, well, I'm just going to eat everything in sight because now I'm really ravenous, right? And that's kind of what causes that sort of spiral. And it repeats itself, right? It just keeps repeating itself if we're not aware and conscious of it. I would love to know where we can connect with you. And I'll make sure that this is all in the show notes as well, so people can click it. But would love for you to just share out loud where we can connect with you.
Thanks so much, Jenna. I want to say your questions are amazing and so insightful. And I'm sure I can imagine that if this is an example of how you coach your clients, I can imagine that you are probably so good at getting them to answer some really good questions for themselves. So thank you for that. You can find me. I'm very, very active on Instagram. You can find me at Bite Size Nutri. I also have my own weekly podcast, the Bite Size Nutrition Podcast. And you were mentioning earlier in this episode, you were like, you know, sometimes challenges come up for me, even things that I've already worked on, and challenges come up for me. And actually the last episode that I posted was on three challenges that still come up for me in my relationship with food. And I talk a little bit about how I approach those when they come up. And I offer some warning signs for anyone that's like, how do I know like when these challenges are going to come up for me? Because sometimes you're able to tell a little bit like when old things might pop up. So that might be a good episode for people to listen to.
I was looking at it. 83.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And then I have my group coaching program, which is The Confident Eater. It's an 8-week program with a focus on mindful eating to support you really finding that balance between I love food, I love to eat, and I value my health. And so really helping you make those decisions in a way that aligns with the type of life you want to lead. For example, like I love to travel. So for me, that balance looks like eating foods in different places when I travel. For other people, that might look like going out to eat with their partner or dating or whatever that is. And finding that balance, I think, is challenging, but really, really valuable. And I also have a free mini course that goes into just two really helpful habits to give you a taste of mindfulness and also how to approach being less distracted when you eat. Because I know so many of us eat with our screens, and eating with our screens it makes it really challenging to be more mindful and being more connected to your hunger and fullness cues. So I will pass you the link for that so you can add it in the show notes.
Awesome. So amazing. I'm so glad you joined us, and just look forward to continue connecting with you, and hopefully our listeners will do the same. So thank you, Jillian.
Thank you, Jenna. Thanks so much.